Well, we have some controversy here. Stu Mann here, the four outdoorsmen, Boomer's to my left, and Mark Lukey's to his left. And we have a controversy already about next week's show. We got to work on this show. Think about today. Don't be so damn selfish, Lukey.
Be where you are.
Selfish?
Is what you
I'm
tell
the only one working. You guys are selfish.
Next week, I might be playing a softball tournament in Indiana, and Boomer's going to this $6,000 flying fishing trip at the Guardian Eagle, right?
Yeah, up in Ontario. It should be amazing. I'm going to be joined by my dad, but I will call in and talk about the walleye fishing. Because we leave Sunday at like 6 in the morning. Streak. Hey, you were supposed to go too,
Lukey. Can I talk now?
Yes.
I was going to say, I've been doing this show for 5 years, and I'm still deathly afraid to do it by myself.
And that's why the last time you did it by yourself, deathly. You didn't do it by yourself.
Yeah, I always invite someone in.
Yeah, you always do. But
if you want to be a guest host on the Four Outdoorsmen,
next week,
you text us in or Facebook message us. And,
but you have to speak more than French.
Yeah.
That's an inside joke. Hey, Stroman, the Four Outdoorsmen. I said Boomer and Lukey here. Thanks, everybody. We're on the Killer Bee right now. Not Super Bee, like Stroman said, but welcome. And Brandon, how are the links doing, pal?
I don't know. We don't
he's running back.
He's running back in.
He's running to
the
links
are on tonight, huh?
How are the links doing, buddy?
Last I saw, they were losing. I'll get an update. Hold on. Give me a second.
Look at your app, will you?
Hey, happy Sunday evening to the land of 10,000 lakes if you're tuning in on the Killer Bee Network. Or if you're tuning in on Saturday morning at 6 a.m., you're catching us right now.
On Bob Total Country, right?
Bob Total Country. And guys, you know, pulling into studio tonight, there was a lot of boat traffic on Highway 10, so I'm hoping our listeners, if they're tuning into us on the way home from the cabin, are patient enough to catch us on Bob Country.
I do, too. I'll tell you what, there's boat traffic all over the place. Came from the cabin in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. Spent a couple of days up there.
We had a little nasty weather.
Well, I'll tell you what, if my voice is kind of ragged today, it's because it's tired from working so hard in the yard. It was really, 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 really bad. It's fun. I like to make fun of everything. But what these folks have gone through the last couple of years is not fair. 2.5 years ago, they had the big tornado. Only one person died, but the devastation was traumatic. Buildings, houses, trailer homes, all destroyed. This time, it wasn't as much buildings and whatnot, but there was a 5-mile-wide swath of 90-mile-an-hour winds, they say, for 30 or 40 miles all the way from Turtle Lake all the way past Chautauqua, Wisconsin. And you should see the devastation.
Was there any tornadoes, Stru, or was it just wind bursts?
There's controversy.
And not
still
just, but I mean, they're big wind bursts.
Yeah, the people I'm talking to who live there think it was a tornado, because if it's straight line winds, wouldn't all the trees and buildings, I think it would go one direction? There were trees and stuff tipped all over the place, different directions. It was really, really bad. So, and we only had two trees come down, actually. One big one that missed our house by maybe 2 feet. Got very lucky. Fell right between the house and the garage.
Yep.
But a lot. So it's nothing more than taking it down and chainsawing and whatnot and spending 2 or 3 days cleaning up debris. But it was scary stuff. Scary stuff. And wow. God works in funny ways. I'll tell you what. Then 2 nights ago before it happened, Diana was going to go to the cabin. And she decided to stay home and leave the next morning. And it's a good thing she did, because literally that tree where she parks her car, you know where she parks her car, Mark. By the house would have been crushed by that tree. You know, so you just hear all kinds of stories like that. So prayers to everybody got damaged and destroyed in Chautauqua and Turtle Lake and Almena and Poskins. It's a long road back. But healthy, alive, every day's a gift.
Yeah.
But so we're here. We're here.
All right.
No fishing this week. I had to work at the yard. As a matter of fact, from here, I'm going right back up there to came home just for you guys. You made fun of me, Mark. Came home just for you guys to do the show and heading right back to the cabin and finishing up cleaning tomorrow, I hope.
Well, that's dedication, my friend.
Yeah, dedication. To you guys. I love you guys.
Well, we love you too. Talking about fishing, guys, I've had one whirlwind of a week and another week coming up. So I got a chance, producer Mark and Strewman, to go up to Gull Lake on Wednesday. You guys know what I was doing up there?
Scotty Merwin must have been involved.
Scotty Merwin was involved, and Dan the Man, Dan Stefanich from Blackfish Gear. Yes, it was the photo shoot for the new lineup of products that are coming in January of 2020.
I want to stop you right there, okay? Blackfish is one of our great sponsors. We have a whole bunch. We're very, very blessed. We know that. But I promote, and I am sincerely promoting anxiously about Blackfish wear, about the clothing that I wear and how I feel about it.
Anxiously?
Well, that sounds excitedly. What should I say?
You're not nervous about promoting them,
are you? Who the hell are you? All right, why is Boomer being the big shot up there, not Strewman?
Well, Strew, you need a boat.
Oh, I'll forget about it. All right.
You got a boat.
Yeah, you do have a boat. No, but I hauled up the Alumacraft Shadow Series Competitor 205. I had some tweaking done by one of our great sponsors, Power Lodge. As you guys know, they're right off the road here on 10 in Ramsey up in Onamia. I didn't say Omnia. Onamia.
There you go.
And in Brainerd. And got up there late on Wednesday night. And then Scotty Merwin and I decided to go out and chase some walleyes Thursday morning on some of the bars and some of the weed lines up on Gull Lake. And guys, it was absolutely beautiful out there. When we were out there in the Alumacraft at 4:30 in the morning, the storm that came in on Thursday, it was Thursday when the damage, okay.
Terrible.
So there was a storm coming in there too. And so we got out there early to hopefully get a few walleyes for some pictures, right? So we could get some photos done early in the morning.
Like Taylor Rogers.
I don't even know what Taylor Rogers
is. He's a pitcher for the Twins.
Oh, okay. Right. And we got out there. The sunset was beautiful. The lake was like glass. It was kind of that calm before the storm. And one of the techniques that Scotty is really good at and Merwin's known for is his live bait rigging with big minnows, okay? I like to use leeches, worms. Scotty is a worm guy too, but really big minnows. And it's kind of that same approach. You're trolling at 0.5 miles an hour. And we were really looking for breaks off of the bars that went right on the weed lines. And what we found is if you were right off of the weed lines and you were going to use a worm or a leech and you were going too slow, the bluegills and the panfish would just hammer it and beat it to death, or the perch.
Yeah.
So we had to use a bigger presentation to kind of fend the smaller, the panfish off. And we did pretty well. We landed a couple nice ones. I did lose a dandy one at the boat that Scotty got on film. I'll have to share that on the Four Outdoorsman page. But we did pretty well. And then the storm kind of came in and we regrouped back and had our rain gear on, which thank goodness for the Blackfish technical rainwear. It kept us really dry. Delayed for about an hour and a half, and then we went back out into the sunshine, and we went bassing. And, Mark, it was just kind of the...
That must have been fun for Scotty because he's getting ready for the Blackfish tournament, which is a bass fishing tournament.
Yeah.
And he's not an avid bass fishing guy. This must have been fun
for
him.
Yeah, and you know what? Scotty got a couple nice ones too. And, you know, similar to that presentation that Mark and I looked for, which was isolated lily pads or edges of weed lines, we mainly fish, Scotty and I, right on the main body of the water and looked for some of the sandbars off of the edges where there was some weed lines. And we did not go with a Senko worm this time. We actually used the Ned Rig. And the Ned Rig has gained a lot of popularity. The Ned Rig, guys, you know, we've talked about this in the past, but the Ned Rig's been around in the Midwest for like 15, 20 years. And it used to be called the jig worm because it was just a jig and a Senko plastic worm cut in half. And when the Bassmaster Classic, or not the Classic, but the Pros came up here a long time ago and fished Minnetonka, they were introduced to the jig worm. And from the jig worm, the rumor has it that that's what developed the shaky head. And a shaky head is a bass presentation that's kind of like a Ned Rig, but you just kind of let it sit there, and it's a longer worm with a tail, and it just kind of flares all over the place, and you have really slack line that's high visible, like a bright green or a bright yellow. And when you see that starting to straighten out, that's when you set the trigger and set the hook. On the Ned Rig, I like using the smaller profile plastic worms, and they're better than the Senko worms because they're buoyant. So they kind of float up, and you can jig those across the bottom. And we had pretty good luck doing that. And then we caught a couple nice pike doing the Ned Rig as well. And then we shifted gears, and we were supposed to film with Midwest Outdoors TV and Evan Rude. But unfortunately, our camera guy was sick, so we're going to get that rescheduled. But Scotty and I then on Friday hightailed, or Thursday hightailed over to Mille Lacs. And we decided to go chase some walleyes. We got out there a little later in the afternoon, and then there was another storm that blew in on that Thursday, but what we did find is a lot of the walleyes that we were getting were the same type of fishing we did this time of year with your son Mike and his Alumacraft,
right,
with you and who was the other guy? He just went catfishing, your buddy
Nick Fairbanks
was with us.
Yep.
And We were working the edges of those flats with about a 7 to 8 foot leader with a leech and a size 2 red hook and a little green bead.
So you went deep.
We went deep. We went deep. We were probably...
So the walleyes are off the rock piles.
Yeah, they're not on the rock piles anymore. There's a lot of walleyes on the flats. Smallmouth bass fishing, from what I'm hearing on Mille Lacs, is getting a little tougher. I think it's pressure. I think the big storm that came in kind of blew them all around, so you still got to look for those isolated rocks. And then, guys, I shifted gears on Saturday and went down to La Crosse, Wisconsin, home of the Lukies, and had a chance to see Nicole weigh in at her tournament. And they, on Saturday morning, I guess they had a tornado warning while they were on the water.
What did she weigh?
She weighed one decent 100, bass.
No, oh, I thought you were talking about her weight. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going. And, I misunderstood. Oh. I misunderstood.
But they actually had a couple storms where they had to take shelter twice.
Ooh.
Actually got out of their boat a couple times.
What do you do if there's a tornado warning when you're in a fishing tournament?
On the water.
I don't know. You remember Wild on the Water? Yeah. Those people that took shelter too. But it was a pretty nasty storm that blew through La Crosse. And then went out with her this morning. And we went frogging with Kermit the Frog and went out there. And we had some good luck. But I'm telling you guys, I've never fished Pool 7. That's where we were. And the water on that part of the country or the river, you know, Pool 7, 8, or 9, is still up. It's like up like 10 feet. So you're fishing in brand new types of structure. So really just focused on duckweed, flipping into trees where there's shadows. We had pretty good luck. And then Stru, like you, I said, honey, it's 1 o'clock. You got to drop me off because we got a show to do tonight. Yeah,
you're talking about the calm before the storm. Again, of course, everyone knows that I don't do nearly as much as you guys do, but it reminds me of one time on Lake Vermilion when I was about probably in my mid-20s with a bunch of guys from Fisher Nut Company. We're up there to party and fish hard for a couple of days, and it was one of those things. All of a sudden, it was dead calm, and there's no waves. There's nothing. It's like glass, like you said, and you can see stuff rolling in from the west, and for about a half an hour, it was chaotic trying to keep walleyes and crappies off of your... It was just nuts. They just went crazy. Just went crazy. And the storm came through for about 15 minutes. We took cover, got on shore, got under trees, went fishing again, and nothing. What causes that? You talk about barometric pressure. What is that all?
Yeah, you know, they often say that the bite for walleye fishing, bass fishing, pan fishing, big muskie, or is best the calm before the storm, because that barometric pressure is starting to rise with the storm. And I don't know, something in their anatomy or something in their brain says it's time to feed because pressure is going to be high and it makes their bellies feel full. And so that's often one of the greatest times to go fish. And then commonly right after that, when the storm comes through, it's usually a rough bite till it stabilizes and that barometric pressure comes down. I mean, Scotty and I had it. We had a few walleyes just popping right before the rain started to hit. We could see the black clouds kind of rolling around us and we could start to see thunder. But yeah, that's a common thing in the fishing realm.
Another time, Diane and I were at the Hunting Shack in Ely, Minnesota, and Mark's been up there on Mud Creek Road, and we walked back to Bass Lake, which is right behind Mud Creek Road.
Yep.
At that time, it was quite a trip to get back there. We hauled a boat back there years ago. Past the Greek Stand, pal. Mark's been there, yeah. And we always kept a boat back there. And Diane and I would go back there a couple of times a year because nobody go back there. Now there's a logging road and road that goes maybe within 150 feet of Bass Lake. So it has more. There's no public access. But it's just a beautiful place to go because nobody's there. And one time, Diane and I were there, and the same thing happened, sort of. And we could see the rain coming from over Vermilion, coming from the west, and the water started rippling with all the fish doing their things. And we started catching crappies and sunfish and just out of nowhere, but you could literally see the fish doing things on top. And in 5 minutes, gone, dead, done.
You know, talk about a beautiful place. I took a new route home from La Crosse in Wisconsin. And I don't know if you guys have ever taken it, but it's like Scenic Highway 35.
Yeah.
I think it's on the north side there.
Yeah.
You go through a lot of small towns. I think there was one called Alma, Pepin, and all kinds of Harley Davidsons, all kinds of bikes, all kinds of bars, right? Yeah. And all kinds of like little ice cream shops. You know, I think Wisconsin mm-hmm. has more churches and bars per mm-hmm. block
and
than
fireworks stores.
You know, fireworks stores.
And cheese stands and porno shops.
Yeah, I saw it all.
Growing up in Wisconsin, all my buddies from Minnesota made fun of that. Well, whenever we drive through Wisconsin, all there is fireworks, adult entertainment, and
that's funny.
It's like
liquor stores and
it's
bars.
Like Boys Town.
But I tell you what, that was a beautiful drive.
I have taken my motorcycle more than once from La Crosse area up 35 that way as well. And it's just a cruise. I haven't had a motorcycle many, many years, but it's just a nice ride. Stop every once in a while, small towns. I'm with you. It really is a pretty part of the world. Yeah, what do you got, Mark?
Well, we got a bunch of shout outs here. I thought we'd get to that before break. And then we have Brett Amundsen. T-Bone, he's going to be calling in. He's out fishing. He's going to call us. He's a great guy. He's got a lot going on, and that's going to be a great guest. So stay tuned for that. But we have a couple shout-outs here. If you want to do a shout-out, go to our Facebook page, The Number 4 Outdoorsman, and comment on the shout-out post. Our good friend John Marshall got the smoker going, listening to 95.9 Killer B. Thank you, John, for listening.
Thanks a lot, John.
And I know it's kind of messed up with the links, so thank you for following us over to the Killer Bee. And welcome new listeners on the Killer Bee. This is the 4 Outdoorsman. If you like our show, you can tune in to us normally on Bob FM.
106.1. If you're listening in the Twin Cities, just go to the My Bob Country, and you can hear us all the time. We have a lot of fun.
Your fishing partner, Scott Merwin, is writing in. It was fun seeing Boomer this week. We had fun fishing in both of our Alumacrafts. Thanks for guiding me on Mille Lacs, Boomtown. Too bad the weather pushed us off so fast. Better safe than sorry. Jennifer Zeiss says a little slow in Mille Lacs this weekend, but had some luck. Chad Lant said he got his Wyatt got his very first Laker yesterday, 25 inches. I've yet to get a lake trout in my life.
Had a couple with Tom Baddock years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, up in Rainy, someplace up there, and that was a wonderful trip. He knows what he's doing. That was fun.
Bill Katz says listening after a tough day in the course. Beautiful day for golf today, I bet. He's doing a little driveway camping. He's got a picture of his set up out there. So thanks everyone for writing in. We're gonna have a fun show tonight. You know what I kind of want to talk about in our third segment, Boomer?
What do you want to do, buddy?
I want to talk about boats. Buying a boat. I'm in the market for a boat.
Alumacraft.
Well, I know that. I have my idea on a few, and maybe you can give your opinion on what I really need set up. So maybe we can go through that. And I want to know how to talk your wife into letting you buy a boat.
That would be a good commentary. But hey speaking of boats, should we talk about our sponsors before we go to break?
Well, yeah. We've already spoken about Alumacraft. We've spoken about Blackfish, Omnia.
Omnia Fishing. It's like your local bait store online. You just pick your species of fish you're going to be targeting or the lake you're going to go after, the technique, and it's going to give you a nice selection of tackle and different things to feel like what you should look at for rods, reels, based on what pros are advising them and their famous algorithm.
So I go to Devil's Lake, I should go to omniafishing.com and find out everything about Devil's Lake and tell them what we're going to do, what we want to fish for, and whatnot, and they'll help us out because Devil's Lake, of course, is our number one sponsor, have been for years, and it is my favorite lake in the entire country. As far as out of state, here we going. But if you want to go to someplace in the state of Minnesota, Marky's got something.
And if you want to go to Omnia, you should do what I did and actually sign up for to be a member, and then you get free shipping on anything. So it's kind of like Amazon action, where if you like what they sell, you get free shipping if you're a member, and it doesn't cost very much. Also, I believe you can still use code BOOMER20 and get 20% off any order.
Yeah, and I did see Matt and Chris at iCast from Omnia Fishing. And, use code BOOMER20 for 20% off. But they're anxious to get back into studio, and we're going to have them in here in probably about a month, and we're going to talk about Omnia Fishing and what's going on for the fall. But if you are going to Mille Lacs or you are live bait rigging worms or leeches, don't forget to put your trusty
Fishing Buddy Cooler Pal.
That's right.
I tell you what, it's funny because people think, okay, we're talking about this because they sponsor our show, but whether or not Fishing Buddy Cooler sponsored our show, now that I know all about it, I promote the hell out of it, whether I'm on the air or not, because it is really a great, great product. And
speaking of a great product, I'm going to use the word great for an awesome resort that we visited recently up on the north part of the Whitefish chain, Heats Resort. They've been around for 80 years, great cabins, covered docks, powered dock slips, and I tell you what, we had a big pike on with your dad, and I can't wait to bring the Alumacraft back up to Heats Resort up on the Whitefish chain.
Did you guys get a video of that, by the way?
We did.
We did.
You can go to the 4 Outdoorsman Facebook page and see a video of my dad Almost landing a monster.
Almost.
He was playing with it by the boat, and I was just dying like, hey, you want to give him some drag?
I'm sure all the listeners are like, if I had a nickel for every time I could show a video of me almost catching a fish.
But. Speaking of that, if anyone listened to last week's show, which was a great show, and I'm hopefully had a chance to listen to it, but my we do have a couple of seconds maybe, but my son Mike was fishing with a friend of his and Lake of the Woods, someplace up there, and fishing for walleyes. He had a 6-pound test on just a leader with night crawlers.
Yeah, yeah.
And got a, was it a 40-inch, a 40-inch northern, no leader, no.
Just a fluorocarbon mono leader.
Yeah, just a mono line, and was bringing it up, and brand new let, they net, and tried to net it, it went through the net. Now he's fishing with, he's got this northern on the line, fishing through the net. Mike's holding the net with the line and the rod through the net. Oh, big mess, but they brought it in. 40 inches, and what a thrill for these guys. Great story.
Hey, let's get to Breakthrough, man. We got Brett T-Bone Admison. He has Prairie Outdoors, does some radio, TV. Stay tuned next to the Four Outdoorsmen on the Killer Bee and Bob Country.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the Four Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
With 160,000 acres of water, Devil's Lake is just waiting for you. I'll tell you what, walleye season's all year round. You can keep 5 a day with 10 in possession. And as Boomer likes to boast, there's no slot limit. A northern pike average nearly 5 pounds. And there's some reason why Devil's Lake earned the nickname as the perch capital of the world. And you'll quickly find out why Devil's Lake has been ranked one of the top 5 fishing lakes in the entire country. Hey, I'll tell you what, plenty of package options as well to make your fishing experience just that a great experience. Hey, check it out, devilslakend.com.
Let's start thinking about open water, flip-flops, and sunshine. Boomer here, and my family and I have been fishing with Alumacraft boats for the past 6 years. Alumacraft boats cover the complete spectrum of fishability, whether we're catching walleyes, hooking panfish, or chasing bass. A best-in-class dry ride with Alumacraft's 2XB haul and lots of storage are just a couple of the reasons why we choose Alumacraft. To learn more about Alumacraft, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you. Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with 3 locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full service shops at 3 locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
K&L Surplus and Ammo is your destination for all your shooting needs. Family owned for over 20 years, K&L buys and sells firearms and is federally compliant. They have the best prices on ammunition and offer discounts to first responders and veterans. They also specialize in European caliber ammo and the only local SKB authorized dealer. Join the K&L Shooters Club for added benefits. K&L is located at 7960 Lake Drive in Lionel Lakes. Call them at 763-757-2614 for more information. Don't miss the Sportsman's Gun and Knife Show at the Hastings Armory this Saturday and Sunday, July 27th and 28th. Open 9 to 5 Saturday and 9 to 3 Sunday. Only $5 per day. Kids under 12 free when accompanied by a responsible adult. Buy, sell, or trade guns, knives, military relics, even Grandpa's old footlocker. All in one location. And there are still openings for dealers who want to display their wares. Visit CrocodileProductions.com or check out their Facebook page for more information. That's CrocodileProductions.com.
Boy, it's getting hot outside. And that's bad news for your live bait, but there is a simple and extremely effective solution. That, my friend, is Fishing Buddy Cooler. It's a cooler designed specifically for your live bait. Patented designs keep the bait cool for over 8 hours in 85 degree temperatures. Keeping your bait lively and fresh, of course, catches more fish and keeps you from going back to the bait store. And it pays for itself in no time. Buy yours today at FishingBuddyCooler.com.
You want to support both the sport of hunting and a worthy cause? Reach for Resources is holding its annual Game Farm Gala charity pheasant hunt on October 2nd. Reach is a nonprofit that supports children and adults with developmental disabilities and mental illness. 93% of all funding goes directly to programming. Corporate sponsors of all levels are needed to support this exciting charity event. Visit reachforresources.org to learn about sponsorship or to donate. That's reachforresources.org.
Hi, this is Steve Cruikshank with Fishing for Life. In addition to all we do for kids, we also have ministries for grown-ups. Deep Seas Men's Ministry is a group of men who like to fish and love the Lord. We have four groups that meet monthly in Rogers, Lakeville, Woodbury, and Blaine to have dinner, fellowship, and devotion. And we never take attendance, so we invite everyone to join in and bring their friends. Find out more about Deep Seas Men's Ministry and all the programs we provide at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
Having fun with the Four Outdoorsmen, Strewman here, Boomer, Mark, Lukey. I tell you what, 5 years running with this show in Bob Total Country, we're having a great, great time, and it's been a ride. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, when will it be 6 years? When did we
October. Fall? We started in October.
Yep. October? Yeah. We're creeping up on it.
Yeah, so October something, we're going to be starting our sixth year as...
So we're five and a half years.
We are celebrities now. It takes 5 years to become celebrities. It's kind of like this guy named Brett Amundsen or something like that. So when 5 years on the radio, because this man's got a radio background as well, I think. Brett, are you there?
I am here. How's it going, guys?
Brett Strewman here. We spoke earlier today. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. So you're not on the water right now?
Yeah, well, we just came in. We were out on Tobin Lake in Saskatchewan, actually, for the afternoon here and had a great – it's kind of funny. I had a great cell phone signal out on the lake, and then we came into shore here to do the interview, and – the signal got a little bit rougher, so I think I should probably just jump back in the boat.
Always an excuse, Brett, to get back in the boat. Hey, man, it's Boomer and Mark here. Thanks for joining us.
You bet.
So last we met, we ran into you at the Pheasants Forever Shotgun Showcase. Wasn't that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, that was a good time over there. Got the invite from the PF guys. Got to shoot some really cool guns. It was a great time.
So, Brett... share with our listeners on the Four Outdoorsmen, typically on Bob Country. The links are on tonight, so we're on the Killer Bee. If you're tuning in right now, it's a Saturday morning on 6 a.m. on the Bob Country Network. Brett, share with our listeners a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up and all that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny that we're on Bob right now. Because, and you mentioned I'm a radio guy, and I've been doing radio for a long time. And, in fact, oh, gosh, it must have been back in the late 90s, I suppose. I was working on Bob FM 106.1 when I was in Princeton, and I worked for Neil Freeman, and I was terrible on the radio. I'm surprised he kept me around. And so I've been a radio guy for a long time. I still do radio. I do an outdoor show, much like yourselves, that airs on a number of stations, and I do a TV show called Prairie Sportsman that airs on all the PBS stations around the state of Minnesota, the Minnesota Channel. If you're in the Twin Cities, you can watch it on TPT and the Minnesota Channel. I guide waterfowl out. I live out in western Minnesota now. I went to high school in Woodbury there in the Twin Cities. My dad was a 3Mer, so they kind of grew up on the east side. But, you know, I'm in Saskatchewan now, and our family actually, we trace our roots back to Saskatchewan. So it's kind of neat. We came back here. My grandpa was born in Saskatchewan, 100 years ago, whatever it was. And my dad actually came up and waterfowl hunted with him when he was 16 years old and hasn't been back. That was 1956. He hadn't been back since 1956. And I brought him up here last fall to do some waterfowl hunting. We got to go see where my great-great-grandpa farmsteaded and where my grandpa was born, got to see the old country, as they say, and I've been spending a lot of time in Saskatchewan. So next time you guys try to talk to me, I may have a Canadian phone number. You never know.
Hey, Brett Strewman here. I tell you, we have a lot in common because I'm from the east side of St. Paul, and everybody there was either Hams, Whirlpool, or 3M, you know. And then and you're Woodbury. I'm the east side of St. Paul, and Johnson kids. Probably older than you. I'm sure I'm older than you are.
Yes, you are.
But yes. I'm older than everybody. But how the heck did you end up? We have a hunting shack, not a hunting shack, but we had a cabin in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. We talked about that today. And WJMC is the radio station I listen to most of the time. How did you end up being in Rice Lake and radio?
Oh, yeah. You know, and Rice Lake, you know, we had a cabin in Luck on Boone Lake. And when I was growing up, we used to listen to The Sound of Wisconsin's Great Northwest, 96.3 WJMC. You know, and that was kind of what we grew up with when we were deer hunting up there. And I got to work on WJMC and some of the other stations in Rice Lake back in the day. In fact, when James changed frequencies, we were there, and that was quite a big deal. So, that's neat country up in northwest Wisconsin there.
So, Brett, now you also guide, too, don't you?
I do, yeah. I've been a waterfowl guide for a while here in western Minnesota for Mid-Migration Outfitters. We guide around Lac La Parle area for ducks and Canada geese in the fall. And then in the spring, we'll chase the snows up from southeastern Missouri through Nebraska, South Dakota. And then sometimes just for fun, we'll chase them up into North Dakota. And then last September, I got to go up into Saskatchewan and chase them around a little bit too. So,
you know, it's always kind of a small world, Brett, because I can connect with you on two dots of what you said. The first one being is you guide waterfowl out in western Minnesota. We've spent quite a bunch of time on Lake Traverse. That's really where I learned lot about walleye fishing. And we've done a lot of pheasant hunting out there, and
turkey
and duck hunting. So it's a beautiful place out there. I've done a little fishing on Lac La Parle. I know it's just a goose haven out there. And then when you talked about guiding all the way down to southeastern Missouri, well, I went to school down in southwestern Missouri, down in Joplin area, and used to run over there right out of college and do a lot of chasing spring snow geese there. And I'll never forget the first time someone told me that using electric calls for snow geese was legal, because at the time, you know, in Minnesota, that was a big no-no.
Oh, sure. Well, that's funny that you're in Joplin. So my parents went to Johnson, so there's a Johnson connection there.
Oh, that's
funny. And we lived in Nevada, Missouri when I was a kid. My dad, it was a 3M-er, and at one point we were down in Nevada, so which isn't too far from Joplin there. So.
Well, that's funny, and you can tell you're from there, because when I first went down there for school, I kept saying Nevada, and they said, no, Boomer, it's Nevada, Missouri, and it's Miami, Oklahoma.
Right, in Missouri.
Yeah, absolutely right. Hey, Brett, have you ever fished? Sorry, quick question. We used to go fishing in Kansas in the old strip mine pools. You ever done that on like a scamp?
You know, I haven't. I've heard of it down there, and we did some waterfowl hunting around some of those areas down there, or down there in Kansas too, just for fun. And I haven't done it, but it sounds like a good time.
Hey, Brett, let's talk about Tobin. Now, you're on Lake Tobin. I don't even know where Lake Tobin is. But
Canada.
That's in Canada. Okay. And so how did it go today?
You know, okay, so a little background. I was doing a radio interview one time with, I can't remember who I was talking to, some big walleye guy, and he was talking about big 10, 12, 13-pound walleyes. And I said, hey, man, off the air, I said, you know, I want to catch one of those 15-pound walleyes. And he said, you got to go to Tobin Lake.
off the air.
And sure enough, so I've been going up to Tazon Lake in northwestern Saskatchewan for these giant lake trout. We do this thing called Tazon TV. It's another TV show that's online that we do with that. And one of the owners has a lodge on Tobin Lake called Trails End Outfitters. And I wanted to bring my family back up, so I got my dad, my brother, and my nephew up here right now. And we're staying at my buddy's lodge here on Tobin, and we got over here today. They drove up from Minnesota, and the first fish my dad hooked into. My dad's 79 right now. He'll kill me for saying that. But the first fish he hooked into broke his swivel. And last fall when we had him up here, he caught his biggest pike, a 43-incher, and then his first fish here broke his swivel, and it ran. You know, it never came up. You could tell it was a big pike. And the next fish, my brother caught a 42-inch pike.
My Lord.
And then we caught some 30-inchers and then caught some walleyes. So for the first set, we've only been out for a couple hours. And honestly, we'd still be out there if it wasn't for this radio interview. So you guys are keeping us.
So we're going to have you on.
Fish right now. So, and Tobin Lake is part of the Saskatchewan River. So it's a pretty famous, legendary water body riverway in Saskatchewan. It flows. It's part of Diefenbaker Lake, where you hear about those big triploid rainbow trout that are asterisk world record fish. And then it splits in the north and south Saskatchewan River. Then it meets by Prince Albert, goes up towards Nipawin, kind of in that east, I don't know if I'm going to get this right, but kind of east central, eastern side of Saskatchewan, about halfway up, and turns into Tobin Lake. And it's the world record walleye through the ice came out of this lake. I think it was about 18 pounds.
Man,
so it's a pretty famous walleye pike. It's a river system, so there's sturgeon in here and all sorts of different fish.
Good for you, man. You're blessed. Go ahead, Boomer.
I remember, you know, our friend Mr. Z, Tom Zinanko from Vexlar, went up there a couple years ago for ice fishing today to try to go for the world record. But, you know, often, Brett, when I hear the word Tobin, I hear the adjective tanker, you know, that adjective,
yeah.
Tobin tankers. What makes that fishery so special? Is it lack of pressure? Is it just the environment of the water to house such big fish consistently?
Good question.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it gets a fair amount of pressure, actually. It's a drive-through destination. There's a lot of there's a couple of the resorts on the lake. It's right by Nipawin. So it gets a lot of fishermen. It has it hosts the Vanity Cup each year. I believe it's in September. It's a $100,000 walleye tournament. It's maybe 100 boats, something like that. It's a pretty big tournament. So there's a fair amount of angler hours on the body of water, but it's big. It's big, and it's part of a river system. So you got moving water, you've got some current, you've got a healthy forage base, you've got fish moving in and out all over the place, a lot of different places to fish. So it's got some pretty good conditions for growing large fish.
Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Brett, Mark here. On your Facebook page is one of the biggest trout I've ever seen in my entire life. Can you tell us the story? And I've fished Canada my whole life. I've been fishing. I've never really caught a lake trout or been successful at it. Can you tell the story of that fish? And I encourage people to go check that out because it is a monster.
Yes,
Can you tell the story of that fish?
So let me just back you up. Which one are you talking about?
What a jerk this guy is.
The one that's your profile picture. The one that's so fat it's like pouring over your hand.
Oh my gosh. So that one that I just shared today has got a 28-inch girth, and it's not the fattest lake trout I've caught up there, and it's not the fattest one that we caught on that lake this year.
Unbelievable.
So Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods told me something pretty important one time, and he said, if you want to catch big fish, you got to go where the big fish are. And there's a handful of big lake trout lakes in the world that can grow fish to world record size. A lot of them, I think all of them for the most part, but one get commercially netted, so it's hard to grow some of those big, big fish. They get more pressure, whatever. Well, about 4 years ago, we filmed a TV show on Tasman Lake in northwest Saskatchewan. I got to be friends with the owners pretty well. They invite me back. So I do the TV show for a sportsman that stays in Minnesota, and I do a lot of freelance filming and photography with my company, Macabre Media. And they basically have hired me to come up and do some marketing for the lodge. So I get to come up and do some fishing, and we film this Tasman TV. I build their website. I do all their photography, things like that. And that lake gets very little fishing pressure. It's I think it's technically considered an impoundment because they put they blasted a tunnel through rock back in the 1930s. Well, probably with some dynamite and also hammers and chisels. It's an amazing thing. And this lake is 25 miles long by about 10 miles wide. The deepest lake is the deepest spot on the lake is rumored to be about 900 feet, which is just it's insane, the depths in this lake. And it's lake trout, it's northern pike, it's ciscos and burbot or eel pout. So the burbot and eel pout or burbot and ciscos provide this huge forage base, and they've got these big giant lake trout that the world record is around that 72-pound mark, and we caught one. One of our guests up there, one of the guests at the lodge, caught one a few weeks ago that was estimated to be 71.96 pounds.
Wow.
The thing was unreal. I've never seen anything like it. The head looks tiny on it because the belly is so huge. It looks like a mutant, but Lake just grows big fish, sees very little pressure, doesn't get any commercial netting, which makes a big difference. All the big fish are all released. There's a photo or some video, and then all the trophy fish are released. They grow some big pike, and I've been fortunate. That first year I was up there, I caught a 56-pounder. It had a 30.5-inch girth, I think, on it. Oh. And I was hooked, as they would say, on the place from there on out. It's a special place. It's surrounded by this ancient Precambrian rock, so it looks like an old ancient mountain range. They're not tall, tall mountains, but it's high rocky hills and bluffs kind of around the lake, and then deep cold water and sand beaches, the Athabasca. So it's just on the north side of Lake Athabasca. So there's this Athabasca sand dunes just south of the lake. It's a beautiful area, big fish. And so then I think the picture that we shared today was maybe around 45 pounds, if I remember correctly. When you catch a few of them, sometimes I'm not trying to talk it up or anything, but when you catch a couple of them, sometimes you forget exactly what the dimensions were, but the belly on it was just ridiculous.
Strew has that problem all the time.
With my dating life. With my high school, college. Just, you know, get so many good-looking ones, you just can't figure them all out.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, hey, Brett, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. We got 1 minute left before we roll into commercial break. Share your contact information about your shows and your guide and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. So the TV show is Prairie Sportsman. It's prairiesportsman.org. radio show is called Sporting Journal Radio, sportingjournalradio.org. Mid-Migration Outfitters is midmigrationoutfitters.com. sportingjournalradio.com, did I say .org? TazandLake.com is where all those big Lakers come from. BrettAmundson.com is where you can find all this stuff. It's the easiest way to say it, I guess.
Well, there we go. Brett T-Bone Amundson.
We'll got have a you lot. Back, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, next time I want to find out how he got the nickname T-Bone, but not tonight, pal. You got things to do. go eat your fish fry. Congratulations. Have a great time and be safe coming home, all right?
Hey, thanks for the time, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Fun stuff, man.
There he is. Well, stay tuned after break. We're going to talk some miscellaneous outdoor topics, but we're going to do boat buying 101 next on the 4 Outdoorsmen.
Checking in with the 4 Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
Let's start thinking about open water, flip-flops, and sunshine. Boomer here, and my family and I have been fishing with Alumacraft boats for the past 6 years. Alumacraft boats cover the complete spectrum of fishability, whether we're catching walleyes, hooking panfish, or chasing bass. A best-in-class dry ride with Alumacraft's 2XB haul and lots of storage are just a couple of the reasons why we choose Alumacraft. To learn more about Alumacraft, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you.
With 160,000 acres of water, Devil's Lake is just waiting for you. I'll tell you what, walleye season's all year round. You can keep 5 a day with 10 in possession. And as Boomer likes to boast, there's no slot limit. A northern pike averaged nearly 5 pounds, and there's some reason why Devil's Lake earned the nickname as the perch capital of the world. And you'll quickly find out why Devil's Lake has been ranked one of the top 5 fishing lakes in the entire country. Hey, I'll tell you what, plenty of package options as well to make your fishing experience just that a great experience. Hey, check it out, devilslakend.com.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here. Looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with 3 locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full-service shops at 3 locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Boy, it's getting hot outside. And that's bad news for your live bait, but there is a simple and extremely effective solution. That, my friend, is Fishing Buddy Cooler. It's a cooler designed specifically for your live bait. Patented designs keep the bait cool for over 8 hours in 85 degree temperatures. Keeping your bait lively and fresh, of course, catches more fish and keeps you from going back to the bait store. And it pays for itself in no time. Buy yours today at fishingbuddycooler.com.
K&L Surplus and Ammo is your destination for all your shooting needs. Family-owned for over 20 years, K&L buys and sells firearms and is federally compliant. They have the best prices on ammunition and offer discounts to first responders and veterans. They also specialize in European caliber ammo and the only local SKB-authorized dealer. Join the K&L Shooters Club for added benefits. K&L is located at 7960 Lake Drive in Lionel Lakes. Call them at 763-757-2614 for more information.
Join the fun at Minnesota's largest outdoor event of the summer, Game Fair 2019. Game Fair features dozens of hunting, fishing, and dog training seminars. Visit with more than 300 exhibitors and enjoy games for dogs and kids of all ages. Try the latest, greatest equipment and be amazed by our shotgun trick shooter show twice daily. Game Fair runs 2 weekends, rain or shine, August 9th, 10th, and 11th, and August 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Armstrong Ranch. Don't miss Game Fair 2019. See complete details at gamefair.com.
All right, this is the part of the show where Strewman doesn't say squat because this is all about boat buying. Boat buying 101 with Boomer being the teacher, Mark Lukey being the student, because Mark Lukey is considering buying a boat. And you're thinking about a new boat, used boat? What are you thinking about, pal?
I think so. You know, this is my lifestyle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is who I am. And so I think there's a chance I might be able to get a used boat from the fleet at Alumacraft because they want to cycle through some of their boats. So I'm waiting on that. But the situation is Strew and I bought a 1976 Sea Sprite 4+ years ago. It has a 70-horse Johnson on it. It's been a great family boat.
Yeah. Well, now he mentioned that he and I bought it together. I've been in it twice.
That's how
in
cheap
4 years.
I am.
Yeah.
I can't buy a $2,000 boat by myself. I have to split it with somebody. So anyway, I've had a great time with that boat. I could pull the kids around tubing. I would never take it out of the Metro just because I wouldn't want it to break down or the trailer or anything like that. So I've stayed local, fished local lakes. The boys have learned how to fish on that boat.
Right.
And it's been a great thing. Now, I'm ready to move on. I shouldn't say this while we're trying to
start. I'm gonna ask you one more question, then you guys are holding the conversation. This is all about you. You said you're ready to move on.
Yeah.
There's a person named April involved in this decision.
Yes, and that's another thing. How do you talk your wife into having a payment that's going to be bigger than your car payment?
You boys are on your own.
So anyway, so I have that boat that Strew's taking and selling, getting rid of it, okay? So I've washed my hands of the Four Outdoorsman Sea Sprite because it's just time. Now, my dad gave me a 12-foot 1978 Alumacraft that I learned how to fish in.
I was born that year.
And it has a four-horse Johnson that's being repaired right now because it hasn't been run in 10 years. So I have two boats that don't work, and the 12-foot Alumacraft has a weight limit of about 420,
yeah,
and I'm about 320, so I can't really fish with another adult in that. So I need a new boat, Boomer, and I've been jealous of you and your boat history for the last 4 years, and I think I'm ready. I'm looking for a family boat. I have three boys that are coming of age wanting to fish. I'm not talking going to Canada with them yet, but I'd like to be able to go up to Mille Lacs for a day or something like that. So I want something that has plenty of room.
Yep.
Probably at least a 115. I want to be able to pull the kids around.
Yep.
Also one that April can relax and spend an afternoon on the water reading books and doing whatever she wants to do. So, you've had, how many boats have you had?
It's going to be an Alumacraft.
For, not just because they're a sponsor of this radio show, but I've gotten to know the people at Alumacraft. They're a big friend of mine. They sponsor Minnesota Bound, which is who I also work for. So, I have a great relationship with Alumacraft.
Yep.
And I would never buy anything other than Alumacraft, even if they didn't sponsor. So, we're going to work in that line, and I know that sounds biased, but we're going to work in that line because that's what I want.
Well, and Alumacraft also is the only aluminum boat with the 2XB technology, which it's two sheets of aluminum all the way from the back to the front of the boat, and that's what gives it such a smooth, dry ride, even on choppy water. And then the design of the hull, even in the back, when you look at how it's shaped, it's not like a straight V. It almost looks like seagull wings, and that really helps push the water away from you. So those are some other competitive advantages about Alumacraft. So what you're going down right now, Mark, is a path that a lot of boat buyers are thinking about when they're ready to buy. And so the first thing I say is, do you have a budget? And you don't have to say it on air, but you have a budget in mind, right?
Yeah, I can't spend $50,000 on a new boat.
Okay.
So I'm thinking 30 to 40 is tops, probably.
Perfect. So then you have your budget in place. Mm-hmm. And let's say for the purpose on tonight's show that April's thumbs up, right? Everything's good to go. The next question is, how soon do you need the boat?
I'd like it to use the rest of this year. And that's another thing to consider in this is timing. I know that boat show always has deals, and the new line of boats is in spring. However, I've heard that this is also a decent time to buy boats because people are kind of clearing out their inventory, and then you could get a deal if you're not super specific. You can get a deal on a decent boat, and I've talked to some dealers where they have a couple boats that they're looking to move. So I would think either really early boat show time or late season, I'm guessing, is the best time.
Yeah, I would say early season and then later summer, early fall, because dealers are looking to move out some of the inventory in later fall. So when they're ordering their new lineup, that shows up during the boat show season. And there's often incentives that come with that, not only from the boat company, Alumacraft, but from the motor companies like Evinrude, where they want to push some of that inventory out of the system, and that way they get a cleaner point of view of what orders look like from the dealers, and vice versa. Dealers can start to order their inventory for the boat. The next question is, what bodies of water? You talked about fishing the metro area lakes, which you can get away with a 165, a 175 in the metro area. Often you know, some people don't know, but the numbers on boats represent the length. Yep. And so 165 is like 16 and a half, 175 is 17 and a half. It's not true to just 17 and a half. It could be 17 and a half, 8 inches. The 165 could be, you know, 16 and a half, 16, you know, feet, eight yep. inches. So then you mentioned Mille Lacs. So when you get into bigger bodies of water, like a Mille Lacs, like a Leech, like Devil's Lake, those bodies of waters can turn rough fairly quickly on the flip of a dime, and they also create their own ecosystems or weather systems. So anyone that's going to go on Mille Lacs, and people might disagree with me, I would lean towards at least a 185. Mm-hmm. So that boat is almost 19 inches. It's probably yeah. 18 feet, 9 inches.
Yeah.
So now you have your budget aligned. You have the length of the boat aligned. Another thing that's going to influence the price is the motor. The right. motor can be just as expensive as the boat sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you're going down the path of a 185,
yep.
I would recommend, I know Evinrude has came out with the G2 systems in the new lower horsepower.
150.
The 150, the 140 HO, yeah. the 150, the 115. But I would say probably the minimum would be as a 140 HO.
For an 18-footer.
Yeah, for an 18-footer. So now you have that established. So then you then talked about how many people are going to be on that boat, which is going to influence the size. So you'll probably have
yeah, it's got three, a seat five.
3 to 4 to 5, yep. right? So when you think about
it's
that.
It's not going to, doesn't have to fish five, but I want to take the whole family on it. So it's got a seat five.
Yep. And so typically all the boats that are out there, they're going to have four seats, you know, in, yeah. in the main part of the
pedestals.
Boat. Pedestals, right? But then you're going to want to look at getting jump seats. Those are the seats that are in the back that can, you know, pop up.
And that go over the live well, right?
Yep, that go over the yep. live well. Or there are jump seats that it's like a pedestal. It's not like a pedestal, but it like flips over and it mm-hmm. can be a casting deck and then you can flip it back. So you're definitely going to want one of those two options, right?
Okay.
And that's, so then you get into that piece of it, and then you want to think about what kind of layout do you want for the boat? Are you you're not a tiller or a steering wheel?
I don't want a tiller. I know that if it was just me, I would get a tiller.
Yeah.
I know that they're great for back trolling and fishing, and yep. it's more open. But because I'm fishing with the family, we're going to be tubing and stuff. I think I want a steering wheel, and I want a full windshield.
All right.
I don't want just over
a
one side.
A single console, yeah. right? And I always recommend a full windshield, especially for a family screw, because that gives you much more cover when the swells or the rain and the wind hits. And especially when you have kids, the more cover, the better. Because as you're bringing kids into the sport of fishing or boating, and, you know, Alumacraft's model is families fishing forever, you want to make sure that's enjoyable as possible, right. right? And you're really good about having treats and stuff and keeping them engaged. So having that full windshield is going to give them that protection to maybe last a little bit longer, you know, have the time to stay out through a quick little wind, rainstorm or whatnot, and yep. then stay on the boat. So now you know that you want an 18 and a half foot boat. You're going to want to go no lower than, I would say, a 140 Evinrude HO. And you're going to want some type of jump seats or some type of, you know, casting deck that flips over so you can seat five. Storage space is, you know, they all have center rod storage lockers. That is a key. And because when you have that many people in a boat and the bite starts happening, screw man, or if you're just putzing around, people are going to step on rods. Yeah. And you really can't get mad at them because there's only right. so much real estate on any boat. So always having that center rod storage locker is going to be key. So a couple
things.
Is that
affected by the length of the boat? Say if you're
not really, not anymore.
Is your 20-foot boat have, you know, can you fit a longer rod? Or
yeah.
Or are they all kind of standard?
You know what? They vary between 8 feet, and some of the smaller profile boats might have like 6.5 feet. But now standard on those is going to be, you know, in the center rod storage locker is going to be, you know, 8 rods. But you can double that up to 16 by putting rod sleeves on them.
I don't need 16.
Okay. But it just gives you, but think about it. You might have a set of, people say that to me, but you might have a set of rods just for like walleye or pike, right? Yeah. But then you're also going to want to potentially carry some ultralights with
yeah.
in case the kids want to go pan fishing or for crappie. So you might have 12. You never know. So it's kind of like buying a computer. Get the most you can now, so you're more flexible to the conditions or who's in your boat at that time.
Oh, I was just going to... So the actual hulls, are you familiar with the hull sizes?
Yeah. Yep.
So you've run three kinds of boats over the years. You've run a T-Pro, which was your first.
Yep.
And I remember that boat. That was a sweet boat, the orange one.
Yep.
The orange and black. And then you ran an Edge.
Yep.
2 years ago.
Yep.
And then
3 years
run
ago
a,
or something like that.
Then
yeah.
you've run a competitor.
Yep.
So I think I want something with a deeper V.
Yep. T-Pro, competitor.
Are they all the same?
They're
going to
have that. The Trophy Series has taller walls on the side of it, so that's a thing to think about as well. The gunwale.
There's no difference except for the taller walls, really?
Yeah, and then if you think about the gunwales, which is the side of your boat, do you want them wide for your kids to be able to lean on, or do you want them thinner so you have a little more room in the boat?
I think I'd rather have room in the boat.
So then that's going to... eliminate the T-Pro or the Trophy because they have wider gunnels, which wider gunnels are nice for stepping on and off a boat.
Right.
And they are nice because they do have side storage. Mm-hmm. But when you go with the thinner gunnels, Strewman, that gives you more real estate inside of the boat that you have to play with. So as you go down this path, you know, a 185 competitor seems to fit that bill because it's going to give you the flexibility of having five people with the pedestal you can flip up in the back or the casting deck that gives you, you know, potentially six seats.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you're going to have a two live well system. And the reason a two live well system works really dandy is people are like, well, I'm not going to keep that many fish. Well, typically in the back of the boat, that live well, you're going to be keeping the fish that you caught.
Yeah.
But in the front live well, what I like to do is that's where I keep my bait. So if you're going to dump, you know, my fishing buddy cooler is holding onto my leeches. But if I've got like shiners that I need to keep alive or, you know, red tails or fat heads or suckers or whatever you want to chase the fish with, you're going to keep that in the front live well because both of them, you can circulate water automatically and manual. And the nice thing about all these boat models is the days as kids, Strewman and Mark, of actually going into the live well and screwing it tight and getting your hands cold on an early fall morning or later summer night when it starts to chill down, there's open and closed valves are now on the outside of the live well in the bait.
That's
or
cool.
In the boat.
That's
so
really
you don't
cool.
have to mess with that.
All right, we got a couple of minutes. Let's talk trolling motor and electronics quick. I know it's expensive, but your spot lock deal is one of the coolest things ever, and I just see using that all the time. So you have a Minn Kota, correct?
Alterx.
Is it Alterra or something?
Yeah, Alterx.
Alterx?
Or Alterra, yes, I'm sorry.
Is that the same thing that Mike has?
Huh?
Is that the same thing that Mike has on his Omicraft?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because you have the remote control around your neck, which is nice because...
That's probably, $3,000 for that setup?
Yeah, you know, $2,000 to $3,000. It depends on, you know, what volt, how strong you want it is, but I think you can get away with one for about $2,000. And with that, you know, the remote is handy because as you're messing around with people in the boat, you can keep by touching the remote around your neck and staying consistently looking at everyone to see who's tangled up, what kid is crying or whatnot. And if you're using the foot pedal in the front, you're kind of minimizing the time you can focus on the whole family on the front.
Yeah.
So the remote is going to be huge. Now, as far as electronics, as far as like fish finders or, you know, whatnot, I use Hummingbirds. And I recommend at a minimum to have one where you're sitting and one in the front. Some people like to just have one where they're sitting. But what's nice about having one is in the front, too, guys, is let's say you pull up to a spot and you got your two kids on the bow of the boat and you're trying to look for that weed line. You're visually looking for it in the water, but you can also see it on your front electronic. And then once you see that weed line, you can use your remote, back you up, hit spot lock, which is a GPS position to hold your boat in place. And then you can visually get an outlook of not only seeing the weed line in the water, Mark, but you can also see it right in front
of
the boat.
Mark, it's going to be a difficult decision for you, I'm sure, because there's so many ideas out there and so many components. And I bet you're going to have a hard time deciding between space and storage. That's going to be a tough deal for you. Boy, it's going to be fun for you. It's exciting, but it's going to be a tough decision for you.
Here's a little tip for you. I'll share this with everyone. In your boat, in your Alumacraft, always have a six-pack of waters and always have 50 and 30-proof spray-on sunblock, because those are things you can forget and overlook real easy.
At least 20 beers for me.
And for you, that's right. Well,
hey,
screw,
thanks,
man.
Yeah, thanks for being listening to the Four Outdoorsmen, everybody. Thanks to Brett for being on the show with us for a long, long time as well. I'm going to say goodbye to Mark. Say goodbye to our buddy Brandon over there. I say goodbye to Boomer. But in the meantime, Boomer's got something to say.
Get outdoors.